Well, this past weekend at DEF CON 4, the country's largest and longest-running convention of computer hackers, National Security Agency Chief General Keith Alexander spoke. Now, that in and of itself was a first, but he insisted that his agency doesn't keep files on ordinary Americans, to which William Binney, a former NSA official, later responded, "In fact, the agency does collect data, and it's indexed, and that's why he left the agency." So what's true? And what's beneficial after the Colorado shooting? The Wall Street Journal asked, would data mining have found alleged shooter James Holmes? Does monitoring massive amounts of information find real risks or lead to unmanageable false positives? All of this got us thinking, where are we on data mining? Remember Total Information Awareness, the Pentagon's data mining program, which was so controversial Congress killed it back in 2003? Well, it turns out it didn't really die. National security expert James Banford says the NSA is building a $2 billion heavily fortified data mining facility in Utah, five times the size of the U.S. Capitol. And he says the Utah Center will vacuum up emails, cell phone calls, Google searches, parking receipts, travel itineraries, what he calls digital pocket litter. To what end? Jim Bamford is author of The Shadow Factory, The Ultra-Secret NSA from 9/11 to the Eavesdropping on America, and he joins us from KNPR in Las Vegas. He's in town for the Hackers Convention. Jim, welcome back to Here and Now.
Thank you, Robin. I appreciate it.
And you were there at the convention, so let's start there. You must have heard the denials and the accusations, and this isn't the first time that General Alexander, again, head of the NSA, was asked about whether his agency does things like intercept emails or phone calls. He previously told a House budget hearing that his agency does not do that. Binney, the former NSA official, says the agency does. You say what?
Well, I say it does. I agree with Bill Binney. Binney had been there for almost 40 years. He was one of the senior officials at NSA. He was the person who actually designed and put in place the worldwide eavesdropping system for NSA. And the reason he left was because the NSA started using it for domestic reasons, domestic eavesdropping.
Well, so what's happening here? I mean, are you saying General Alexander is lying? Or, you know, others use words like loophole and word games. I mean, what's going on?
Well, first of all, you have to look at NSA's history. NSA has a history of lying. They did illegal eavesdropping on U.S. citizens, reading all the telegrams, U.S. telegrams coming in or going out of the country or going through the country without a warrant for 30 years. That was discovered in 75, and it was put to an end, and they created this Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court to oversee NSA, so it wouldn't do that again. And then once again, NSA began lying when they were telling the public that they weren't eavesdropping without a warrant during the Bush administration. It was doing eavesdropping without a warrant, contrary to what they were saying, until it was discovered by the New York Times and revealed. But there's another factor also, and that's the difference in definitions of words, for example. NSA has a different definition of intercept than the average person. The average public gets their definition from Webster's Dictionary. The NSA gets it from a top secret document called USID 18, that's United States Intelligence Directive 18. And that directive defines intercept not just picking up information, but actually listening to it. So NSA could actually pick up enormous amounts of communications, store that communication forever, but it doesn't consider actually intercept until somebody puts on a pair of earphones and actually listens to that recording or reads it on a screen.
Well, General Alexander spoke to that in a way because he says the NSA targets only foreign entities, but if it happens to pick up data on Americans, the agency is required to minimize it, meaning nobody else can see it unless there's a crime that's been committed and maybe they go back to it. But take us forward. It sounds as if the Utah Center that you write about absolutely plans to vacuum up all information, not just incidentally get it if there's some sort of foreign suspect being targeted, but go after it.
Well, it's hard to say what NSA is doing, and that's the problem. I'm on the outside looking in. I just have to look at what NSA has done in the past and what I can interpret from sources I've interviewed and from what you can see on the ground and documents you can acquire. And through those methods, I'm able to see how big the center is that NSA is building in Utah. It'd be virtually the largest data center ever created. It'd be 1 million square feet. And that's you can store an awful lot of data in a facility that big.
Apparently, it'll be able to store a yottabyte of information. That's 10 to the 24th bytes of data. A yottabyte is big.
Exactly, yeah. If you translate it into text pages, it would be estimated about 500 quintillion pages. So it's an enormous building spree. In addition to all this, NSA is building this enormous computer center in Oak Ridge, Tennessee, a very secret center where they're creating the world's largest and most secret computer, one that they hope will eventually do a exaflop number of operations. That's 1 quintillion operations a second in order to maybe break encryption that average citizens use every day. If you're sending an email that has information in it that's encrypted, they'll be able to get it. They've got listening posts across the United States that listen to communications around the world, and they have listening posts around the world also. And the place where it will all go will be the Utah Data Center. So analysts all over the world could access it through secure fiber optic communications.
Some of it's encrypted, maybe can't be broken into, but maybe down the road it can be. I mean, that's another thing you write, that the code breaking may not be available now, but if you store everything, down the road it may be. So let's say a year and a half from now, the NSA wants to look at a certain email. And in their mind, the good news is they have it because they have everything. But how do they get it? Do they have to go and get a warrant to go to their facility in Utah to read that email?
Suppose they find a terrorist and they find that he has an email address. Well, then they could do a data search through what they've already picked up and stored, and then find out who else has communicated over the last couple years to that same address. And once they find that, then they can get a warrant. That's only if it's a U.S. citizen. If it's not a U.S. citizen, they don't need a warrant. But the key is the problem of acquiring too much information, and that's the problem right now. These agencies do nothing except wanting to collect more and more and more when they can't handle even what they have now. That's why they completely missed the underwear bomber, for example, totally missed it. And then the Times Square bomber missed him, even though he had been communicating back and forth to Pakistan. The NSA had a terrible record before 9/11. It missed the first World Trade Center. It missed the attack on the USS Cole. It missed the attacks on the U.S. embassies. It missed 9/11. And it's had a bad record after 9/11. The problem is you got too much information out there, and collecting more is not going to help.
That's national security expert James Bamford. By the way, his article about the huge new Utah Center appears in Wired magazine. We'll link it at herenow.org. The facility has a fence that will stop a 15,000-pound vehicle. It's got its own power substation that'll cost $40 million a year to run. And by the way, it's located in Bluffdale, Utah, home, coincidentally, to the country's largest Mormon breakaway polygamous sect. It's a fascinating story about colliding cultures. But when we come back, we hear Jim's criticism, but does he think this information gathering would have detected the Colorado shooter? That's in 1 minute, here and now. Welcome back to our conversation with national security expert and gadfly James Bamford, author of several books and a big piece in Wired magazine about the National Security Agency's growing data mining capabilities. The government is building super-fast computers to crunch electronic intelligence it gathers in and outside the U.S. It's cracking codes, and next year the NSA will open a huge complex in Utah to store all this information. And Jim Bamford says the NSA is gathering emails, cell phone calls, and countless online transactions of everyone in the U.S. Now, legally, no one can look at that information on Americans until a computer spits out an alarming pattern or there's some other red flag, and then they have to get a warrant. But James says the NSA has lied about whether they've waited for a warrant in the past. So, Jim, you have legal concerns. You also worry it's the wrong tactic in fighting terrorism. It's too much information. But on the other hand, we heard you say after the Colorado shootings that if suspect James Holmes had a Muslim name, he'd have been tracked. And that implied to us that that meant through this information gathering. And FBI agents said pretty much the same thing. Too much surveillance is going to just a few Muslim suspects, missing people like the alleged shooter at home. So what are you saying? It sounds like you're saying too much is being taken in, but then also not enough is being taken in, and the NSA missed an alleged shooter, James Holmes.
No, my criticism is that we're focusing on the wrong problems. We're focusing on this hyper fear over terrorism. Last year, there was, as in almost every year, except for 9/11, there was virtually no U.S. people killed in the United States by terrorists. And around the world, there were only 17 Americans killed in terrorist acts last year. And they were mostly people who happened to wander into Somalia or someplace. So we have all this infrastructure, all this eavesdropping, all this counterterrorism, billions and billions of dollars of counterterrorism equipment and so forth, right, focusing on the terrorist threat when there really isn't much of a terrorist threat.
But couldn't the NSA say in response to that, that's why we're going to vacuum up everybody's stuff, because we have to focus on ordinary Americans, because that's who James Holmes was before he killed 12 people. So couldn't that be their reasoning for this huge data mining project in Utah?
Well, the NSA is not allowed to eavesdrop on U.S. citizens. It's not allowed to eavesdrop domestically. Whenever it's done that, it's done it illegally. The only time NSA can eavesdrop on a U.S. citizen, or basically a domestic call, is if they get a warrant, and they need probable cause for that. That's the problem. You can't just turn an agency like NSA and just say, eavesdrop on everybody. Why don't we just say the FBI from now on has the right to go into everybody's home anytime they want?
I guess what I'm trying to get at is, if the criticism is that the NSA is focusing in too limited a way on suspected foreign terrorists or Americans with Muslim names, the flip of that would seem to be focus on everyone, or focus on people who don't have Muslim names.
What I'm trying to say is that this isn't what NSA is designed to do. It's not what NSA should be doing. Like I said, nobody was killed by terrorists last year, but there were 31,347 gun deaths in the United States. You have a problem when you have a person who can order online 6,000 rounds of ammunition. So you don't need NSA for that. All you need are some decent laws and maybe some methods by which it's illegal for ammunition companies to sell ammunition online. A lot of states, you can't even buy liquor online, let alone 6,000 rounds of ammunition.
Well, and you know the debate there. We've had that with people who own guns in the NRA absolutely opposed to that.
It's insanity, total insanity.
But you know, meantime, so then are you saying that this, $2 billion center being built in Utah is worthless?
Virtually. It hasn't done any good in the past, and I don't think it'll do much good in the future. I've written 3 books on NSA, and I've written critical books, and I've written positive books. I've had a book signing at NSA. I'm a critic of NSA when they do things wrong, and I praise NSA when they do things right. They do a lot of things right, but they do a lot of things wrong, and that's the problem.
You talked to one woman whose job it was, she said the rules were thrown out the window after 9/11. Her job was to listen to phone calls between American journalists overseas as they called home, and she said it was horrible to listen. These were intimate, painful, personal things they were saying, but my job was to listen in. But it sounds, though, Jim, as if, you know, you're critical of this moving towards more gathering, more data mining, but it sounds like that's the direction everything's going in. Skype has just announced that it's going to change its encryption so that law enforcement will be able to listen in on Skype. Apparently, criminals, drug dealers, suspected terrorists knew that they couldn't be heard on Skype, so they'll say things on phone calls like, let's switch to Skype.
NSA for a long time have been trying to get access to Skype data. It doesn't travel over the normal paths that a normal phone call does. It travels over the Internet, which makes it more difficult for NSA to access that information.
But some people would say, that's a good thing. You know, criminals and suspected terrorists shouldn't be able to switch over to Skype because they know that they can't be heard by law enforcement.
Well, whether they are able to switch over to Skype or not, the point is the NSA has a tremendous amount of capability to eavesdrop on communications. And I'd like to see something that comes out of it that's positive in terms of a success here once in a while. Not only that, you know, you could also say that the government should have the right to go into your house anytime, just because that way we will be able to stop crime. And we probably would be able to stop a lot more crime if without notice any law enforcement official could walk into your house and demand to see what's in this closet, what's in that drawer. I'm sure you'd be able to stop an awful lot of crimes that way. But, you know, is that what you want? 30 years ago, you had a hardline phone with a cord and really nobody could listen to it. Nobody could read what you're writing in your letters. Nobody could see what magazines you're sifting through in the magazine store, what books you're taking out of the library. And now you can. You can do all that. You can basically tell what somebody's thinking by looking at somebody's computer every minute of the day.
That's James Banford, national security expert. We'll link you to his article about the Utah Data Center in Wired Magazine at hearnow.org. His book, The Shadow Factory, The Ultra-Secret NSA from 9/11 to the Eavesdropping on America. Jim, thanks as always.
My pleasure, Robin.
And please leave your thoughts at hearnow.org or facebook.com/hearandnowradio. Still ahead, Rufus Wainwright and the latest news here and now.